This is the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I am Dan.
Let's get started. Number 10, Burned.
Burned. And I just figured out why it's called Burned.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't really get it when we first started watching.
It was pretty obvious to me.
They both got burned.
Yeah, but then the city got burned too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's we're going to get true. Into this.
That's also true. So, this episode aired on September
16th, 1992. Oh, Tara Strickland's birthday.
Yay.
Happy birthday, you're 7 on that day.
For all of these people that don't know who Tara is.
Great. Tara's my college roommate. Hey, girl.
So, this episode has two guest stars, Ron Canada.
Ooh, old Ron Canada.
What's up, Ron Canada? He played a minister.
Oh.
And he was also in Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
He was the creepy butler.
Okay.
Who was like, why you doing it to the old wife? To the grandma.
Remember? Okay, I gotcha.
And Anita Morris.
Oh, Anita.
Who plays Stella Rivers.
Ooh.
That sounds like a made-up name.
Or a porn name.
Stella Rivers.
Which could work.
Yeah.
So we open on Melrose Place, and it's night, and Sandy's hanging by the pool. Jake's getting home. He had a hard day of work, so we do know Jake still has a job.
Right.
And Sandy is trying to coax him out. Hey, you want to go get a beer with me? He says no. You want to go have some pizza? He says no.
He's like, I can't. And my first, thought here is like, I thought this was done.
Me too. And then he agrees to pizza and they start walking up the stairs together and there's like sexy music. I'm like, this is a dream. This is not real.
Nope. It's a surprise birthday party for Jake.
Yay! So they walk up to Sandy's apartment and all of the Melrose Place tenants are hanging out there. They have pizzas on the ready. Streamers are everywhere. They got a birthday cake. Mm-hmm. And
they start passing out the pizzas and Billy's like, all right, guys, graveyard shift calls. And that's when I say, yes!
So Billy's out to go work the graveyard shift in his cab. And then a red-haired Southern Belle saunters into Melrose Place.
It's always Southern Belle.
Yes, and she's looking for Jake.
And she asks Billy, and Billy's like, is he expecting you? Because, fuck it, he's upstairs. He's not in his room. He's not in his apartment. He gives her the apartment number of where he is, he should be, and then tells her exactly where he is.
So this mystery woman comes up to the party, and Sandy answers the door, and they start chatting. She says that she's looking for Jake, and she's an attractive, maybe a little bit of older woman, red hair. Her boobs are, like, totally, like, rock hard and, like, out on display.
Very zany, though.
And yeah, so she gets invited into the party, and then Jake notices her. She runs over to Jake, kisses him on the mouth, starts feeling his biceps, and is like, oh, these arms, they're rock solid. And everyone's looking on, wondering, who could this woman be? And she turns around and notices that everyone's looking at them and says, well, Jake, aren't you gonna tell them who I am?
And do you think that everyone was looking at them because they thought maybe Jake could have fucked this person?
I think that's definitely what they wanted you to allude to. I had a feeling who it was, but I think that that's exactly what they wanted the audience to think, that this could be, like, one of Jake's.
They're like, oh, is this one of Jake's, like, drunk booty calls with beer goggles? Nope. It's mom.
Yeah, so Jake reveals, yeah, guys, this is my mom.
And Jake has to take after his dad because there is zero attempt at matching this woman to Jake.
And also, I don't. She straight up kisses him on the mouth.
Yeah, that's a that's is that a no. weird?
Would you ever kiss your mom on the mouth like that?
Not. I haven't in a very long time. When I was a kid, like a young kid, yes. But as an adult, no. We cheek.
Yeah.
Cheek and hug.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And the Melrose Place tenants' reaction is priceless. They just stand there and, like, stare at them like,
It's like a 3-second long stare, and then they go to commercial.
Like crickets.
Yeah, that was the cliffhanger. So now we're off to Billy's graveyard shift, and he's in a tough spot in town. And he drops off this sweet old lady in the heart of the ghetto.
And she says, now ever since the trouble, riding the bus scares the living daylights out of me. Thanks for the ride.
Right. And Billy's just like, oh, yeah, no problem. And he has this, like, scared puppy dog look on his face. And then he starts driving around and he's strolling along. And then all of a sudden, he hits a dead end. And boom, there's a pink Cadillac.
Well,
it rolls up on him.
As he's dropping off the sweet old lady, he takes notice across the street that there are some gangster thugs hanging out by a fast food joint. And as he's driving away, that pink Cadillac starts to follow him and they corner him in a dead end. And then the guy in the driver's seat looks over to Billy after Billy realizes he can't go anywhere and says,
got a light.
So that's what
doesn't make sense. Then 9 people roll out of this car. It's like a clown car.
Yeah.
And they all roll out and then they, like, rhythmically start beating his car.
Like with baseball bats. They have baseball bats and they just start going to town. They're just beating the crap out of Billy's cab.
And like the coward that Billy is, he just rolls up his window and takes it.
Yeah, can you tell? Billy does not even react. He's like, ugh. He doesn't even, like, start screaming or, like, you can't even tell that he's scared.
He just
he's just sitting there, like, getting beat on by these guys.
He just cranks up the manual windows and lets them go to town.
And one thing to note, the guys that attacked Billy are black.
They're so black males.
That comes up later on in the episode.
Right. So we cut back to Jake's birthday party, his surprise birthday party. And Allison takes a phone call at Sandy's place. She just picks up the phone and answers it. And it's Billy. Or it's a receptionist at the police station saying that Billy is there and that someone needs to come pick Billy up.
Yeah, Billy's been robbed and he's there at the police station. So Allison jumps up and volunteers to go get him and says, don't break up the party. I'm going to go get Billy and make sure everything's okay.
But you know what? If I were Allison, and I think it would have been a cooler storyline if she was like, you know what? This is probably a bullshit lie from Billy.
Well, Billy's just...
because all he's done is lie to this point.
All he's done is taught her to expect that anything that comes out of his mouth is gonna be a lie.
Right. So when he calls, like, you gotta pick me up from the police station, I feel like it could have been a cooler storyline if Allison was like, nah, I don't believe you.
Well, sorry, Dan. She does believe him. She goes down to the police department. And that's when we see Billy talking to a police officer, pleading with him to try to go down to the fast food joint that he saw these guys hanging out at before the attack, saying, hey, I got a good look at them. I could identify them. I know where they hang out. You just got to go down to the same place we were and we can get these guys. And the police are like, okay, kid. Yeah, yeah. We see.
Yeah.
So so many robberies every day. We're not even going to give yours a second thought, whatever.
Right.
So he's very disenchanted with the police department.
He feels threatened. And you know, I would too. Like, if you got robbed and, you know, at like that. And what's funny is that they never mention, like, what was stolen. I'm assuming it's his cab fare and the car.
But, I mean, they totally messed up his car that they probably couldn't get any value out of it.
Right. And if the windows were up, then that means they had to have busted in and there had to be some kind of physical altercation.
But he, not a scratch on him.
Nothing.
He is totally, he's not even like shaken up. He's more mad that the police department isn't taking it more seriously. And he tells Allison that he feels like he is the one that's committed the crime for even going to that part of town. And that's how the police are making him feel.
Right. So that's where we leave them. And we pick up on Jake kind of probing his not-so-milfy mother as to why she's back. Like, so what's going on here?
It's pretty clear that Jake is not thrilled that his mom has shown up out of the blue. He wants to know, why are you here? Like, I know you're not here really for my birthday. What's the catch? What do you want?
And Jake's like, is it money? And then I'm thinking, yeah, because if it's money, you're barking up the wrong tree. This guy didn't have 10 bucks for ice cream like six episodes ago.
Oh, yeah.
So you cannot get money out of Jake. There's nothing doing over there.
So his mom reveals that she's finally left Hank, that he was taking it out on her, that he had lost his job and she was fed up and it was time for her to move on and she just needs a place to stay until she figures out what's next.
Right. And is this where he's like, don't get too comfortable?
Well, he says that later on in the episode. The vibe. But he says, you know, Mom, when I needed you most, when I needed a place to stay, you slammed me out. You kicked me out of the house and you wanted nothing to do with me. And when I needed help, you weren't there for me. So now you're expecting me to be there for you.
Right. Then Allison gets back to the courtyard of Melrose Place with Billy. And everyone's kind of waiting up for him. They're like, we're worried sick, blah, blah, blah. And Billy just sort of recounts the story. And he uses some general words like they and like those people. And talking about the people that robbed him.
Well, the direct quote he says is, if those people want that part of town, they can have it. I'm never going there again.
Right. And then, of course, Rhonda has to step up and say, what do you mean, those people? Blah, blah, blah. And if I were Billy, I would have looked at her and I'd have been like, by those people, I mean those nine guys that came out of that car and robbed me.
Well, Rhonda says, well, where exactly are you talking about, Billy? The jungle?
The jungle? Yeah, is that a term for where black people live?
Well, like, maybe. The jungle? Haven't you heard, like, the concrete jungle? Like,
I guess so.
The jungle. And like, then she was like,
I'm aware of the, you know, the stereotype that South Central LA is rundown ghetto. But, I mean, we've been there. I've driven through there several times, and it is a bad part of town.
Okay. You gotta think, too, this was back right after the Rodney King riots, like right back after the LA riots. I mean, this was months after, and honestly, like, crime was at a high. There was so much racial tension in the city. I mean, even watching OJ Made in America, that documentary on ESPN, which if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. It is amazing.
Oscar winner.
It's an Oscar winner. Mm-hmm. And they really recount and revisit what life was like in L.A. during 1992 when this was all going down. So I think Melrose Place probably wanted to
like, take a snapshot.
Yeah, have some, like, social commentary on what was going on, and this was the way to do that. But I agree. I think that the way Rhonda came at Billy about this was a little unmerited. It was kind of like,
it was a little too aggressive. Like, Billy was clearly talking, he was using they, as in the people that robbed him, and that part of town, as in...
Well, he said, those people.
Those people can have it. Yeah. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Me, you know, I don't know. So, Anyway, so basically Rhonda here is accusing Billy of being racist and somewhat sort of taking the side of the people that robbed Billy.
Yeah, and I mean, I get where Rhonda's coming from, especially trying to put myself in that situation in that time when, again, racial tension was at a high in that climate. And not that it is not now. Another thing that struck me when watching this episode is a lot of the topics that they touched on, and especially between, you know, Rhonda talking to Billy and how people of different races can kind of live together. It's the same stuff we're still talking about now, 25 years later.
Right.
And not to say that we haven't come any further. I just feel like we still have so much further to go.
Right. And I mean, it's basically like, not Billy's not saying all black people are terrible in South Central. He's saying the ones that robbed him are.
And I get that. And I agree with that too. And I mean, I think that Billy has a right to feel violated and feel upset because he did get attacked. And he like violently got it, even though he wasn't physically attacked. The way that they came at him in the car was really crazy.
Yeah.
And I would be scared. And not to say that you're blaming an entire race for those actions, but I think you can feel upset that that happened to you regardless of whatever race perpetrated that on you.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's natural if you have a bad experience in an area, you try to avoid that area moving forward.
I get that.
You know?
So it's the next day and Billy is at his computer.
Oh yeah, his little shit box computer.
He's there, and all we see on the screen are the words, "Last night I," and that's it.
Yeah, Billy is hardened by this event. He's really, really feeling it.
He keeps replaying the attack in his head. We keep seeing the frame of the guy in the car looking at him saying,
There might got a light. Was there some audio of
just of over light? And over again?
Got a light.
And he's so frustrated and angry that he can't recount his experience, because I think he's now trying to tread the line of, if I write how I feel, will I be perceived as racist?
Right.
Or can I actually go through these thoughts and feelings and put them down on paper effectively?
And who's there to help coach him? Of course, hot ass Allison. She's getting hotter, guys.
Well, I think Allison is always a pretty girl, but she's wearing some very clingy clothing that show off her figure.
She's looking much better and ditched those schoolgirl vests.
So we're off to the Mancini residence.
Right.
And Jane reminds Michael that they have a baby seminar that night.
But first, she had a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
She had a little nightmare. And Michael's like, don't worry about that. That's just because Billy got robbed, baby. Don't worry about it.
And she's like, I'm just very worried about raising a baby in these times. And he's like, all parents think that.
Yeah,
we're fine.
He's like, don't sweat it, babe. Don't worry about it, Toots. I got to go to work. And then she's like, don't forget, we have baby class. He's like, yeah. I'll try to be there.
He's very cavalier about it.
God, I love Mancini.
I know you do. I love him too. So we go back over to Jake's place, and Jake's mom is making breakfast.
Denver omelets.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's when he says, "Don't start getting too comfortable here, Mom."
Yeah, it's very clear that Jake's just like, oh boy, what's happening? And then they have some like metaphorical conversation about how omelets are delicate and you have to watch them.
Yeah, so his mom's making the omelet and she's like, why am I such a threat, Jake? Are you afraid that you're actually going to give me a chance and I'm going to get too close and I'm going to shatter that bad boy exterior? And he's like, okay, Mom, get out of the way. Let me take over omelet making. And he's like, you got to take care of it. You got to coddle it. Omelets can fall apart so easily.
Like our relationship.
And then that's when she just says, yes, I never was a good cook.
Or mom. And Jake's shirt is back. I'd wear that shit today.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. His
little plaid joint. Little blue plaid button up.
Mm-hmm. No one... And look, Jake is right here. You know, he has a... From what we can tell, is a one-bedroom. And your mom shows up indefinitely. You're going to be a little defensive of like, hey, just want to let you know, this isn't permanent.
This isn't permanent.
Yeah, I think we can all... We all have some personal experiences with moms. Anyway, Alice and Rhonda then have an exchange in the lobby courtyard of Melrose Place.
So Rhonda's still sour about Billy's comments.
Yeah, Rhonda's like, how's that roommate of yours? She can't even say his name anymore because he's got his Klan hood on and... Hates all black people like Rhonda. And then Allison's like, come on, cut him a break. He just got robbed and his car got destroyed.
Right.
And she's like, oh, so he let out his true colors, blah, blah, blah. We see that Rhonda is still affected by this.
Right. So it's later in the day. We're at D&D and Allison is sitting at the receptionist desk fielding all of her calls.
Swamped.
And then Billy rocks up.
Oh, yeah. Billy rolls up. He's like, hey, yeah, I'm here to lie.
Well, he says, hey, can I borrow your car? I want to go down to the insurance agency and file the claim for my cab. And Dan called it immediately. He was like, lie, lie, lie. Yeah. He's totally lying. And I'm like, well, maybe he needs to go over to the insurance agency.
No way. No way.
So he goes through Allison's purse, fishes out her keys, and he's out of there with her car.
Like, I'll have it back by... X o'clock.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, but you know what? Here's some cab fare just in case I'm not back at the end of the day.
Right. So Billy just straight up comes into somebody's work, steals their car, gives him a couple bucks, and leaves. What's that?
So that takes us back to Melrose Place, and Sandy's outside sunning herself at the pool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then Jake's mom comes out.
It's a really tough cleavage shot of old Jake's mom.
I mean, like, she's got to put those puppies away. I'm not saying that she's an unattractive woman. I mean, this actress, you can tell she's over her prime. She's aging.
Yeah.
But, man, it's like, leave a little to the imagination. Cover up a little bit.
Yeah, these things are like...
They are like Bowza. Like
ghostly white.
So... She comes out in a very skimpy bathing suit, and she and Sandy have a little heart-to-heart, and Jake's mom says that she has a very 90s job that allows her to work anywhere. Waitressing!
Right. But, well, and then Sandy's like, I'm an actress, but I try to be I'm a waitress so I can pay the bills. And Jake's mom is like, whoa.
I'm a waitress. Yeah, exactly. So Michael and Jane are at their baby seminar, and they're learning how to handle delicate, tiny infant children.
And Michael is a straight-up G up in here, saying what we all think at baby classes.
I mean, I don't know. I really enjoyed our baby classes, so shed some light on this, Dan. What were you thinking?
Michael is like... Looking at the other dads or dads to be, making fun of them.
Yes.
He's sizing up everybody, and Jane's like, Michael, pay attention. And he's like, look at these idiots. Oh my gosh. I can't believe he's actually doing that. And then, then they have to like dress the baby.
Yeah, so first he takes the baby and slams the face against his knee, like, okay, I'm gonna take this baby and dress it.
And he's like, trust me, you know, I clip umbilical cords all day. I'm a doctor. This is all beneath me. He like totally belittles the class.
So he's very, very rough with their little infant plastic doll that they've been given to kind of practice on. And as he's trying to put the onesie on the baby, he rips off the baby's arm.
Yeah, and Jane's like, come on, Michael, what are you doing? He's like, I got this, Jane. I got this. I'm a doctor. But Michael. And then boom. Yeah.
Yeah, so that establishes that Michael may not be as delicate as what he needs to be with their baby on the way.
Right, but he's above this. He is a, I mean, he's got a point. He's a doctor.
Okay,
they're probably taking the class at the hospital Michael works at. You know, it might be a little embarrassing for
him. Well, based on how he was handling that kid, he ain't ready to be a daddy, I'll tell you that much.
Right. So now we're off to Billy in Allison's car with Jake on a stakeout for this pink Cadillac.
They're back in the jungle.
Yeah.
And Dan, you were right. He lied to Allison again.
Straight up.
Didn't go to the insurance agency. He went right back to the scene of the crime where he's putting Allison's car at risk.
Right. And Jake's like, Billy, this is a bad idea. And I don't know why I'm here with you. But I can't be around my mother.
Yes, it was like I had to go for it with you. So they're there, they're staking it out, they're right across the street from that fast food joint that they were seeing them hang out,
and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Right, and Billy says, it's not about black or white, it's about right and wrong. I'm going to wait for these guys and we're going to get their license plate.
Right, because the police are doing nothing. And then, what's up? Rhonda and Matt are at Shooters, sort of hashing it out, piecing together why Rhonda is this upset at Billy for being quote-unquote racist.
Right, so they start talking about the L.A. riots and their backgrounds. Rhonda reveals that she comes from a middle-class background where the only burning and fire she saw were the ones in her fireplace. And she had a very comfortable life, and she liked to live colorblind where she didn't see people's skin color. She judged them by who they were as people, and that all of this tension going on has really caused her to step back and think, do I need to be more cognizant of who I am? And am I going against my own people? Do I need to, you know, step up and be a better part of the community?
Right. And Matt sympathizes because he's a gay male and he has to bottle up a lot of things when people are talking about using slurs against gay people and bottling that up, as Rhonda has done with her being African American, is comparable, basically.
Right. So we're back at the stakeout, and it's very late. Jake and Billy almost make the decision to go home. And
Billy's actually sleeping when we come back. Billy gets people to do things with him, and then Billy does the opposite.
Right. He really does.
He doesn't go bungee jumping, but he brings Matt and Jake along with him.
He makes Jake go do the stakeout, and he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And makes Jake do all the work.
Billy, what's going on, bud?
But just by luck, that pink Cadillac pulls up again. They catch the license plate, mm-hmm. and they got him.
They got him. They roll out, and Billy's like, oh, shoot, it's so late. And I definitely have this car way too long. Allison's going to be pissed.
So it's the next morning, and guess what? Allison is pissed. They're talking about it, and she's like, Billy, you conned me yet again. You told me you were going to use my car for one purpose, and then you brought it back over to that side of town. You totally lied to me. Why do I keep believing you?
Seriously, Allison, stop falling for him. You need a new roommate.
Honestly,
you're getting so much hotter. You know, it might be time to put out an ad and just get a new roommate.
So we're back at the Mancini's residence.
Right. Michael's preaching to Jane. Jane's mad at Michael because he didn't take the class seriously and they're in for it. And Michael's like, look, we're in for it no matter what, which I agree with. You know, like having a kid is tough to do, and you can do a lot of preparing, but you're never completely prepared for this sort of thing. And that's what Michael was trying to convey to Jane here.
I definitely agree with that. But she says, Michael, you really need to learn a little bit of patience. Really, how you acted last night, that's not how you're going to be able to treat our baby. And then he says, well, you're really overprotective and you're probably going to have to like pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. And then she's like, we're going to be sleep deprived. And he's like, bitch, I'm already sleep deprived.
I have all these jobs.
Yeah, I got two jobs.
I'm trying the best I can do.
I'm wearing this beeper.
So that takes us back to Shooters with Sandy and Jake.
Right. They're talking about how it sucks that Jake is living with his mom again. And then all of a sudden, she's at Shooters getting hit on by a bunch of dudes in this jean getup.
Yeah, so
what the hell was this outfit?
Jake can't wait for his mom to leave, and he and Sandy have this exchange where Sandy's like, you know, Jake, I feel really, really sorry for you. You have so much hate and animosity built up against you, your own mother, and it must be really awful to hold on to all of that hate.
And he's like, Sandy, shut up. You don't even know.
And she says, just look over there. And then that's when he realizes that Sandy brought his mom to the bar.
Yeah, she's a drunk.
And she is in, like you said, a straight up jean dress again. Yeah. Her boobs are just spilling out of this totally dress, out. And it's not cute, guys.
This cowboy guy is, like, hurtled over her, like, showing her how to play pool, and it's one of these stereotypical, like, oh, so I take the stick and I put it here?
And then the ball goes in the hole.
Right.
And then Sandy's like, just look at her and tell me you don't love her. And he basically looks at Sandy like, yep.
Don't love her.
But that's what it made me realize, too. His mom is like, this Southern Belle. That might explain a lot. Why
he's into Sandy.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, she was a Southern Belle. And she sometimes has little remnants of, like, her old accent. But it could be because it's like, he loved his mom or something.
Maybe.
The way that she kisses him on the mouth, I don't know.
Yeah. Jake mom, slutting it up. That's my note. Rhonda, we're off to Billy in his cab.
Right.
And Billy has a personal request. He's been requested to pick somebody up. So he's like, okay. And he drives over to pick somebody up. And boom, it's Rhonda with some groceries. And she's like, South Central, please. And he's like, come on, Rhonda, what are you talking about? She's like, just drive. And then he says, it's your cab, your hour. Or like, he's like, your meter or whatever.
So they're driving around South Central and they're seeing all of these burned out shells of buildings and just seeing the people there and getting a sense of what it's like to live there. And even it's a learning experience for Rhonda as much as it is for Billy.
And this is basically a PSA for people who lived in LA during this time to like get up and get active in the community and help rebuild the city.
Yeah, so they take the groceries to a food bank that was handing out goods to people that were in need, and that's when they come across this minister talking to a crowd.
Who? Oh, Ron Canada?
Oh, Ron Canada, yes. This is his cameo.
The minister.
And I don't know about you, but I think this was supposed to be like this poignant moment where he's talking to everybody and he strikes a chord within people and it causes them to see each other.
It's like a food drive.
I didn't get it.
I think it falls flat today, but maybe back then it was like, yeah, we understand. Let's go with this guy. He's saying what we think. Let's all reach out and help Los Angeles rebuild.
Well, I think that's the impact it had on Rhonda and Billy. So it's later in the day. Billy goes back to his apartment. Allison's waiting for him, and she lets him know that the police called, and they got the guy. Billy is conflicted because he doesn't know what he should do. All they need is a positive ID from Billy and they can put this guy away. But after seeing what he saw in South Central, he doesn't know if identifying the guy would be the right thing to do.
Right. He's like, what good is it going to do to put him in jail versus let him run around free and keep asking people for lights?
So Stella finally comes home wasted.
Oh, she is banged up.
Yeah.
She
is. So this is Jake's mom. She has been at the bar all day. It's now after midnight. And
yeah, and Jake's like, what are you, you've been drinking since lunch?
So she's like, oh, yeah, all I need to do is get some sleep. And she just falls down on the couch, like, right. With the arm over her brow.
Yeah, and Jake's like, God damn it. Throws a blanket over her, just like old times. She hasn't changed, you know?
Right. So we're back to the Mancini residence. And it's the morning, and Michael wakes up, and he and Jane are in bed. And Michael says, you know, Jane, you're right. Kids are so fragile, and we really need to be careful about how we're going to raise this baby. I mean, look at Jake and his mom. And he said, holding the doll makes me realize how excited I am to hold my baby.
Uh-oh.
Which is very sweet.
They're excited for their little baby that I don't think they're going to have.
Oh, stop. I think you're right, but we shall see how that unravels.
Right. So Jake's mom is just gross.
It's the morning after.
She must go. And she must never return.
So she passed out on the couch. She slept there all night. And Jake goes into the room and she's apologizing. I'm so sorry, Jake. And she says, you know what, Mom? Sandy says that we need to relate to each other like adults, not like mother and child. So from adult to an adult, you can't stay here anymore.
Yeah. And Jake, Grant's show has some acting chops.
He's good. Yeah.
He sort of stands out from the others because when he does have these long sort of rants, there are layers in his delivery. It's not just one note, you know?
And his mom's like, Jake, but you're all I've got now. I was only 19 when you were born, and I wasn't ready for you, and but now I want to have a relationship with you.
And he's like, get the fuck out.
He's basically like 20 years too late, and he says, I'm leaving, Mom. Don't be here when you come home.
When he comes home.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Yeah. So now we are at the police station. Billy is about to identify the perp. And he gets into the, I don't know what you call it, like a lineup room. And they're all there. And Billy's sort of zoned out, like replaying it in his head again. And got a light. Got a light?
Well, before this occurs, he meets up with Rhonda, and he tells Rhonda that they found the person that attacked him. They keep saying they're singling this one got a light guy out.
Yeah.
It was like 9 people, but this one guy's taking the rap for it all.
Yeah, he's sort of the decoy. Yeah. And everyone else around him had the bats. And
yeah. Well, anyway, he tells Rhonda, you know, I'm thinking about not going down to the police station because, I mean, is that the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Is locking, this guy has enough problems to deal with. Is locking him up for this, right? And Rhonda's like,
honey, what that gonna do? Put his ass in jail.
She said, I'll drive you to the station myself.
Yeah.
And then they go together to the police station. And then Billy's in the lineup room and he keeps replaying.
Got a light. Got a light. Got a light.
And he sees the guy. Unmistakably, it's him. He knows it. And he's hesitating. And the police officer's like, look, if you can't make a positive ID, you can't make a positive ID. And he interrupts him and says, number 5.
Yeah. And coincidentally, I think he's in the same clothes as before.
And you know what, dude? Do you remember Immature?
Yes.
He, like, totally, this Got a Light guy looks like a member of Immature, I swear to God.
Might have been in
it. What was that song that they sang?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh my god, there's like a big hit that me and my sister Lauren used to sing all the time. It'll come to me.
So anyway. Jake catches his mom like at the bus station, basically.
Right. And it's one of those shots where she's reaching to pick up her suitcase, but then his hand goes into the shot and picks it up, and he brushes against her hand, and she looks over her shoulder and is like, Jake, you came.
Yeah, very artsy, very beautiful. We have a yada, yada, yada moment, and she goes away, hopefully forever.
Okay, let me break it down for you. I'm recapping here. So he says, Mom, I'm not here to ask you to stay. I just wanted to say goodbye. And she's like, Jake, you're right. I need to make my own way. I've never been by myself in my whole life. I'm going to go somewhere. And when I get settled, I can't promise that I'm going to be in contact with you on a regular basis. But the least I can do is send you a postcard with my new address and a phone number.
And he's like, okay, great, Mom. I'll ball that up and throw it in the trash.
So she's getting on the bus. She turns over her shoulder and looks at him and says, Jake, if you don't remember anything, remember, I love you. And then Jake takes a beat, looks down and looks back at his mom and says, yeah, take care of yourself, Mom.
Yeah, Jake can't say I love you. And why should he? His mom sucked.
Well, we only saw a little snippet of their relationship, but it didn't look like it was a good one.
No. So now we're back to the courtyard of Melrose Place. Billy and Rhonda sort of have a moment where they make up. Billy isn't racist anymore, and Rhonda doesn't hate Billy.
So they basically end the episode by Billy saying, you know, the trick is you have to listen to one another. And then Rhonda's basically like, this has been a lesson for me too. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, all is good in Melrose Place. The characters have learned their lesson about inequality and racism. And we're on to lots of intrigue and new stories in another week.
Right. So, to recap, Billy's cab gets robbed. Jake's mom comes to town. And the Mancinis are another step closer to being ready for their baby.
So what's the lesson you take away from this episode?
My lesson here is to, you know, keep your guard up. Keep your guard up and say what you specifically mean. Because if Billy kept his guard up, he probably wouldn't have gone to that ghetto. He wouldn't have taken the fare to go down there. And if Billy said what he meant specifically, then Rhonda wouldn't have been mad at him. But he was a little too general, you know? And Jake, you know, Jake should have kept his guard up, because then your mom won't come to your place. And he should have said what he meant from the start, which was, can't stay here.
Well, the lesson I take away is we still have a long way to go with racism and inequality and how we view one another. And I think this is a testament to that. 25 years ago, we're still having the same conversations today. So I think that it's great to have things like this. I mean, even 25 years ago, to stimulate these conversations among one another. But I think that's the biggest thing I take away from this episode. And then, hey, if you haven't seen your mom in 5 years, give her one day and then kick her out on her ass.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amen. What was your 90s moment?
I had a couple of them.
Can I just say my lone one?
Please do.
Opening scene. Sandy's apartment, birthday party. We get a close-up of Michael Mancini's beeper on his hip.
Oh, nice.
That was the moment.
Oh, I had a beeper, did you?
Yeah, I had a beeper.
Yeah, me too. So I think that going to a car insurance office to file a claim physically is such a 90s thing. If you ever get in a car accident, you never have to go in person to file a claim.
You can just do this. Get on the horn.
You can get on the horn. You can even do it online. There was a awesome shot of a purple fanny pack right behind the minister at the food bank, and it was like right there
behind Canada.
Oh yeah, behind Mr. Ron Canada, upper left hand corner of the frame, just a fanny pack right there staring you right in the eye.
Dope.
And then lastly, the fact that Jake's mom would send a postcard with her new number and address on it. It's not like people had cell phones, not like there's a way that you can get in touch with them personally. Yeah. You needed to know where in the world they were in order to get in contact with them.
Postcard. So, this episode's name was Burned because Jake got burned in the past and Billy got burned in the present.
Oh, and a lot of places got burned in South Central.
Right.
To the ground.
Right. So if you could rename this episode, Jenny, what are you renaming it?
I am taking this from the episode itself when Jake makes a comment that they both were ambushed by Jake's mom and then by the guys that beat in Billy's car. So I would call the episode Ambushed.
Ambushed. I can dig it.
Cool. How about you?
Mine is called Grand Theft.
I see it, of course, with Billy's
Billy
gets scenario, but how does this apply to Jake and his mom, or does it?
Billy gets his car thefted, and Jake gets his apartment thefted. His mom intrudes on his lifestyle and steals his apartment.
Okay, I can see that.
Grand theft.
So, do you have some predictions for upcoming episodes based on what we saw today?
Yes.
Let's hear them.
I predict this baby go bye-bye.
Oh, damn. We've been saying this for a couple weeks, and I can't believe that we really haven't gotten a straight-up episode like with heavy baby Mancini.
I think it's coming. I hope it's the next one.
Oh, man. Because
the Mancinis haven't been in much of the previous.
They haven't.
It's been all Sandy. And if Sandy's leaving soon, then we need a new story.
Yeah.
And this one was all Jake and all Billy.
Yeah.
So, it's your turn, Mancini. Show us what you got.
Well, I think Jake's mom might start working in a topless bar somewhere in middle America. She wants to show those puppies off so bad. We've established she's an excellent waitress. So why not take the two passions that she has in life and combine them into one master job?
Yeah.
So I think that might be in her future. And then I'm thinking that the gang might put a hit out on Billy for identifying the perpetrator of the attack.
Please do it.
So if that happens, Billy might be in some hot water. With, like, the Crips or something in the upcoming episodes.
Melrose Place could have used us in writing future episodes.
Yeah.
They really could have. Because we have some good storylines.
Well, as always, it's getting fun. It's heating up. Can't wait to get some more fun, crazy storylines.
Where are you, Kimberly? Where are you, Sydney? Where are you, Heather?
They're coming.
Amanda, come on. We're ready for you.
They're coming.
So, as always, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Melrose Pod. Tweet at us, heart our stuff, comment. We will hit you back, faux show. And our email is melrosepod@gmail.com. If you think we left something out, if you want to comment, write us.
And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on iTunes. If you don't like what you hear, then don't worry about it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Bye-bye.
Bye.